So I'm going to take this opportunity to speak about a few things, and one of them is how happy and how proud I am of the devotees here in Salem, Madhuleka Devi Dasi and Indra Bandhu Prabhu, and led here ably by His Grace Radha Shyam Prabhu. Quite unexpectedly, months ago, maybe, I don't know when I first started getting emails from you, maybe 6 months ago or so? Maybe even a little longer. But somehow gradually, we developed a relationship with Radha Shyam Prabhu, and it became clear that he wanted to establish an ashram here of Srila Gurudev, Srila Govinda Maharaj. And he wanted that to be part of Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Math, and asked if I would accept that, and I humbly agreed. And so now we have this very beautiful ashram here, and it is, actually it's more than an ashram, it's a preaching center. And I've also been remarkably inspired to see the enthusiasm of the devotees here, every single one of the three that I mentioned, all enlivened to preach the precepts of our Sri Guru Varga, and especially Srila Govinda Maharaj and Srila Sridhar Maharaj, Swami Maharaj also, Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj. And that's being done through book distribution and through programs like this where the public is being invited. And they did a Herculean task of distributing, I think, 1,000 or so flyers and posters advertising our programs here. And at the same time also continuing with book distribution and other types of preaching. The devotees have had their difficulties, as we always do, but persevering, following the guidance of Srila Govinda Maharaj, Trinadapi, Suniche-na, Charorapi, Sahishni-na, Amani-na, Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahuri, practicing tolerance and giving respect and honor to others, not looking for respect for ourselves. Govinda Maharaj said, this is our religion, and they are following our religious practice. And this has brought us to this auspicious occasion where today Madhuleka Devi Dasi will be taking Gayatri Mantram, second initiation. In the with the blessings of the assembled Vaishnavas, and so a very happy and auspicious day, and it's also the happy and auspicious day of many other things. Also, it is known as Krishna Vasanta Panchami, and this is an auspicious day. Somehow it's recognized as the first day of spring where new flowers appear and are offered to Sri Krishna. So I'm thinking that that means that when this day became known as Krishna Vasanta Panchami, that maybe the seasons were a little different, or maybe they're a little earlier in India or something. But I'm reminded of that because I believe I heard this from Srila Sridhar Maharaj, that he was giving some evidence about the, yes, I'm fairly certain it's Srila Sridhar Maharaj, evidence about the historical nature of the Vedas. Some have argued that the Vedas are only 1,000 years old or something like that, 800 or 1,000 years old. Different ages have been assigned. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj was commenting that one person who studied the Vedas very carefully, I believe the Upanishad was the example that was used, that there was a verse in the Upanishad that said something about the a particular day, which was, I think it's called the equinox, where the day and night are of equal duration. So now we think of that as around December 25th, I think, right? Sometime in December or so. But at that, but he showed that over the ages, that when this Muni wrote this verse for the, which was, I believe, in the Vedas, and I believe it was the Upanishad, that according to the astrological calculation, the time that he designated had to be at least 6,000 years ago. And he was writing it as if it were that day. In other words, so the Vedas had to be at least 6,000 years old. So, something else this points to is how inaccurate our senses are, our ability to perceive things through the material senses. Actually, nothing. I've been in a long, drawn-out argument with one lady in Russia, who is surprisingly, or remarkably, I guess, somehow suddenly came to our aid and gave us so much help in translating and getting many things done in Russian, in the Russian language, and posted on our website and so forth. But she herself actually argues endlessly with me about our philosophy and different things. And in the course of this arguing or debate, discussion, as you will, she was making a point that how can we trust the scriptures? How can they be trusted? And how can we trust the disciplic succession? And how can we trust that Krishna is God? And how can we trust many, everything? How can we trust any of this? What we are broadcasting, what we are telling and preaching is the absolute truth. And her question, which is not an unusual question in the preaching field, is why should we believe it? Why should we accept it? How can we trust it? What is the evidence? What is the proof? Right? So I thought, well, we should, if she's going to demand such proof from me, then let's start with the criteria, what is proof, right? How are we going to prove anything? So first, I challenge you, I make this challenge to you, that nothing can be proven that depends upon the material senses. The end. You cannot prove anything that requires the verification by the material senses. So, she's never responded to that because there is no response. Because that's the only way people who think that they're going to prove something can prove something. Is it not? Oh, this 1 foot measurement is 12 inches long. How do you prove that? Can you prove it? Someone said, here's a standard measurement. But if you check anything by that standard, then there's always going to be some mistake. Nothing will ever be exactly to the standard, right? Nothing will ever be exactly 1 foot. A line is an unlimited number of points, right? Supposedly. How do you prove that? How do you prove what is unlimited? It's an infinite number. A line is an infinite number of points. Prove it. You're going to count the unlimited, the infinite number? You can't, right? Anything that relies upon the senses is prone to defect because the senses themselves are defective. We see something, but what we don't see is far greater than what we see. Right? What we see within a certain spectrum of light, but there are so many spectrums, an infinite number of spectrums of light. And we're seeing only a very, very small part of that. We don't see the infrared, we don't see anything above the spectrum, and we don't see anything below the spectrum of our vision. We don't see anything above, we don't see anything below. We don't hear anything outside of, you know, more or less 5 to 20,000 hertz in the sound spectrum, right? So that means, so then the material solution to counteract that, to attempt to counteract that, is what? Well, we have instruments. We'll build an instrument that can see more than our eye can see. How do you prove it's seeing more than your eye? How do you know the instrument is not defective? If your eye can't see it, then what's the proof that the instrument is accurate? But even if your eye could see it, the eye is also defective. Because the eye can only see a measurement to a certain, like now my eyes, you know, I'm getting a little old and my eyes, I need reading glasses. So what I used to be able to see very clearly, the pixels on the computer monitor, now I don't see pixels anymore, I just see lines. And if I put on glasses, then I see the pixels again, because the eyes are not perfect. And the pixels, you know, they are one size, but there are much smaller things than that, which the eyes, no matter how good your human eyes are, you're not going to see. The dog hears things that we, you know, you can blow a whistle for a dog and the dogs will hear it and we'll never hear it, right? All these things, because the senses are imperfect. So then how will you prove anything based upon something that you know from the outset is imperfect? You can't, how are you going to prove anything? It means that your proof cannot be perfect, therefore it's not proof because it's always defective. If it's defective, you haven't proved anything, have you? Right? So, to prove that the Vedas are a certain age, let's say we wanted to prove that the Vedas are 6,000 years old, or that the Bhagavad Gita was spoken 5,000 years ago. The Bhagavad Gita is 5,000 years old. And someone says, well, I won't accept the Bhagavad Gita because I'm not satisfied that it's 5,000 years old. Well, what difference does it make? If it was spoken yesterday, 5 minutes ago, or 10,000 or 100,000 years ago, does it make any difference? Is the age of the Bhagavad Gita the proof of its efficacy, of its ability to solve the problem of human life, the problems, birth, death, old age, and disease? Is calculating the age going to help anyone to know that I am not this body, that I'm spirit soul, that I'm not what I've been thinking that I am, this body? No, the age is irrelevant. So how is it proven? How is it proven that Krishna is God? How is it proven that Mahaprabhu is God? How is it proven that Guru is Guru? How is it proven that Vaishnava is Vaishnava? All the things that we hold sacred and dear and have our faith in, have our belief in, is it some wild speculation? Is it some irrational sort of hocus-pocus or something like that? What? And if not, how do we prove it? Well, then if it's not, then you should be able to prove it to me. And this is, and who argues that way? Who is it that argues like that? It's the, very good, yes. And their counterparts? Atheists. No offense, any lawyers present. Don't take my offense. So that's the argument of the atheist. If God exists, then he can show him, then prove it. Show him to me. Let him show himself. In other words, if God exists, it's his burden to prove himself to me. I should sit here relaxed, watching television and do nothing. I don't have to I shouldn't have to exert myself. If there's a God, let him prove it. I don't have to search for him. I don't have to seek him. I don't have to exert myself. If there is a God, okay, then show yourself to me. Otherwise, I don't believe in you. And you had that cartoon, was it, with the two infants in the womb of their mother, right? Oh, do you, one saying to the other, do you believe in mom? I've never seen her. Why should I believe? What? What is that all about? No, I believe only what I know here. And what can they know? Their eyes are sealed shut, right? They're, you know, only whatever they can communicate by mental telepathy or something. There's no speech, no hearing, no vision. And Prabhupada, it's funny because that cartoon reminds me of something that Prabhupada said. Someone was arguing with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was becoming a little agitated and angry with him. He says, what do you know? You know your mother's womb, that's all. You know nothing. Right? You know nothing. So many big philosophers, big atheists, and big arguers, and big scientists proving different things. They think they're proving, but they're not proving anything, because anything that relies upon the material senses cannot be accepted as proof, because the material senses are defective. So therefore, everything is that you try to prove through the facility of the material senses is automatically, necessarily imperfect, and imperfect means defective, and therefore unreliable. It's unreliable. So then how do we prove, then how do we prove anything? Srila Sridhar Maharaj gave the example. The example is from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Gopinath Acharya was chastising Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya couldn't recognize that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was non-different from Krishna, that he was Krishna himself coming in this incarnation. Right? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya couldn't accept that. Is there any way to turn that off? It's just heat, right? But I think we're okay. Yeah, that's all right. So Gopinath Acharya, he was telling Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, you foolish man. Now Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the greatest intellectual of the time, or if not the greatest, you know, amongst the greatest, right? Like number one, number two, number three, something. Exalted. And he was a great teacher of Vedanta in the line of Shankaracharya, the Mayavad conception of Vedanta. And Gopinath Acharya was telling him that, my dear Sarvabhauma, what's wrong with you? You don't recognize it. Standing in front of you is Krishna himself. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. And you don't see that. No, I don't see that. Why do you say that? What's your proof? What's your proof? So Gopinath Acharya had to give his proof. And his proof was that because he has revealed himself to me, and I understand that he is Sri Krishna himself, that is the proof. What does that do for Sarvabhauma? Okay, in other words, okay, that's proof for you. How does that help me, right? How does that help another person? But that's the proof. And that's the accepted proof. Gopinathacharya, the accepted proof is that I know he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he has revealed that fact to me. And I know that you are very unfortunate because he has not revealed that to you. Therefore, you are most unfortunate that you cannot see that. There it is. Now, we can give so many... now, this Gopinathacharya, then he also... Sarvabhauma said, but if he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then the Vedas would tell us that because they list all the incarnations. But there is no incarnation for Kali Yuga. Therefore, Krishna is known as Tri Yuga Avatar. He appears in three yugas. So Kali Yuga is the fourth yuga. There's no incarnation for the fourth yuga. Ha ha. Look, if he was really an incarnation, he would be mentioned in the Vedas. Oh, Sarvabhauma, don't you know you're supposed to be a big scholar? You have read the Vedas. You are number one in the scholar list, number one with your certificates and intellectual capacity and everything. Don't you know the statements of the Mahabharata, the Upanishads, etc.? And then Srimad Bhagavatam. And then Gopinathacharya gave some verses proving his point. Oh, this incarnation is given, is predicted, but you don't know that? And he didn't know it because why? It hadn't been revealed to him. It had been revealed to Gopinath, it had been revealed to Sanatana, Rupa Goswami, it had been revealed to Gadadhar Pandit, to Advaita Acharya. They understood the incarnation for this age has appeared, right? But not Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So, Sarvabhauma wants to know, what is the proof? And Gopinath Acharya is saying that one who has gotten the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be able to recognize that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Sarvabhauma asks, what is the proof that you have gotten that mercy? That I recognize him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is where we are. We can say Vedavyas says such and such, Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj says such and such, the Vedas say such and such, the Bhagavad Gita says this, Krishna says this. We can point to so many different things and say that these are proofs. They're proofs for those who accept those things as proof. Right? And those who don't accept those things as proof, then you haven't proved it. And you can't prove it. And this woman, she was approaching me in this way because I told her, she had previously asked me about these things, and I told her, I can prove that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I can prove it. Then we went different things back and forth, and finally she's saying, so prove it. And then I had to say that I can prove it, but first you have to become a proper student. You want to try and know something of the level of the astrophysicist, but you're just learning that 1 + 1 = 2. And you're saying, well, I know 1 + 1 = 2, but there's nothing beyond that. That's the position. That's the position of the atheist, the agnostic, the skeptic, the whatever, right? Those who don't accept this, it's because they don't know how, they don't know how to accept it because their knowledge is so small. It can be proven to anyone, but they have to want to see it. That's why I started off by saying the atheist, he's a lazy man. Actually, he's an avoidist. He is avoiding the truth. He doesn't want to know that there is God that he will have to serve, that he will be the servant of, that he will have to surrender to. He doesn't want to know it. So he says, oh, then if there is a God, then he can show himself to me. Let me see him. Bring him here. Show me. Right? You do the work. And after you've done the work, what... And anyone who would accept the challenge is foolish, because even if you bring him the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Krishna stands in front of him, he still will not see him and he still will not accept it and you still will not have proven to him, because he doesn't want to accept it no matter what. That is the sad fact, sad state of affairs. And but that's the state of affair of the faithless. That's called faithless, right? Those are faithless people. But they're faithless for a reason, and that reason is that they want to continue to believe that the material world is all in all, and that their enjoyment is to be found here. And why? Because that gives them the excuse to exploit others. Because that's the only means of enjoyment in this world, is to exploit others. So to find enjoyment in the transcendental world means, please exploit me, Krishna. My Lord, I'm yours, exploit me. Do with me as you like. Right? I'm your slave. Accept me as such, please. That's what I want to be, your slave. So it's for the conditioned soul, it's something which is not welcome. But every conditioned soul, every soul can be educated, and those that cannot be educated can get some sukriti by some fashion. And so it's our job as preachers, as agents of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Yari Deke Tarikaha Krishna Upadesh Amar Agai Guru Honatare Desh. So I'm using this verse from time to time, encouraging what our gurus, what my gurus have encouraged in their disciples, which is what Mahaprabhu encouraged in his followers. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur especially encouraged it, and that is, everyone, you become guru. You teach Krishna consciousness to others, and that way you become guru. You spread the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that your spirit soul, your only happiness will come through the service of Sri Krishna, Sri Radha Govinda, the divine couple. That is the real... position, the highest position for the jiva soul, the highest attainment, the highest position of ultimate happiness, satisfaction, everything you will attain there, in that position. And those who, and Mahaprabhu made it so simple through the distribution of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So that is called the Maha Mantra, it's the supreme mantra. Because everyone can chant it. He may be atheist, agnostic, anything, and he may be some drunkard that we pass on the street with our Harinam Sankirtan party, and he is mocking us, oh, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, and there you go, chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Maybe with some Nama Bas, maybe... probably not purely, so many faults are there. Not without the, receiving the mantra from the guru, etc., etc. But the mantra is so potent that still it will have some effect. It will have some effect. There's some, if some effect means purification. He will, and that will give him the chance to go to another level, a higher level the next time, and the next time higher, and the next time higher, etc., etc. And this means the acquisition of Sukriti. So the Sukriti, agyata Sukriti, gyata Sukriti, agyata without knowledge, without any thinking it's one thing, but it's actually another. Sometimes our collectors and our book distributors will tell us, approach someone, and like Prabhupada, one example in the life of Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, someone was complaining about the method of book distribution of the of our book distributors, and his name was Burijana, and Prabhupada said, "Well, what is the problem?" Well, one lady, she was asking if I accept this book, will I learn how to solve the energy crisis? And the person said, "Yes, the solution is there." And then she read it, and she came back the next day and met that book distributor and said, "I don't find any solution. You didn't tell me the truth. You lied to me. There's no solution here for the energy crisis." So Burijan was saying, "Look, he's lied to this woman, right?" That was he didn't say that directly, but that's what he was implying. And Prabhupada said, "Do you think that is a lie? Isn't the problem of the energy crisis solved through reading this book?" "Of course it is, because every problem is solved. Every problem. One who becomes Krishna conscious, there is no more problem. No energy crisis problem, no fuel shortage problem, oil shortage, forest shortage, paper shortage, ink shortage, every shortage, every problem, you know, food shortage, you know, not enough hospitalization insurance, not enough Medicare, welfare, whatever, all problem, all solved, because the idea that all the problems are connected with one thing, the idea that I am this mundane body and I am a product of this material world, that's the problem. Now there's your problem." Right? Now there's your problem. Kid, you're thinking that you're part of this material world. There's your problem. So you're not. You're a spirit soul. So Mahaprabhu preached and practiced on two fronts. And one front was through the Harinam Sankirtan, congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, engaging as many people as possible in chanting the Hare Krishna mantra under the guidance of a pure devotee, under his guidance, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. And everyone who saw him automatically was liberated and began chanting the Hare Krishna mantra purely. And those persons who upon whom he had that effect, then they would go to their village and people would see them chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, and then the same thing would happen to them. And in this way, it spread throughout the whole world. So we're not so potent as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he has instructed us, you do the same thing. You try to distribute this Maha mantra to everyone. And do good for yourself and do good for everyone through that distribution. And I keep hearing this word from Prabhu Radhasham, distribution. He talks about passing out flyers and cards and books and so forth as distribution, distribution, distribution. And that's what it is, yes. It's distribution of the Sukriti, distribution of transcendence, distribution of divinity, distribution, taking it from the source. The source is our guru, our guranga, and taking that and distributing to others. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's written there, that Mahaprabhu's conception was that he is taking the fruits of the tree of love of God and distributing them, and the miracle is that the more he distributes, the more become available, right? So that there's your infinite number of points on a line in a plane in a solid. It's infinite. You don't worry that if I distribute too many, there won't be any left for me, or there won't be enough for someone else. The more we distribute, the more we will get. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur had this idea of Namhata, and the marketplace of the holy name. And he wanted a position as a distributor, a broker, an intermediary. So there's the warehouse, the storehouse. That's Mahaprabhu is in charge of the storehouse. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he'll be a broker. He'll distribute wholesale. He'll distribute to others. And then he says, I will take my commission, and everyone will be happy. They will pay their price. What is the price to get the holy name? The price of one's faith. And so that means, who is a sincere seeker? Who has some faith in the chanting the Hare Krishna mantra? He will get that. And I will take my commission, and everyone will be happy. And his commission is that my faith will be enhanced. I'm distributing to others, and my own supply will increase. And that's what we're doing ourselves. We are trying to distribute to others. And as we do that, our own faith, our own supply will increase. So we're distributing in the hidden way, like that example I gave. Oh, will this solve the energy crisis? Yes, it is the solution. It's all written there, the solution for the energy crisis. So that's not what she was thinking. It meant one thing, and the distributor knew that it meant something else. But his idea was the right idea, and her acceptance of the book and giving a contribution for that, a donation for that, meant what he gave her was Sukriti. And the exchange, Srila Shiramarj discussed something, a pastime of Srila Saraswati Thakur. Saraswati Thakur made some comment one time that he needed, I forget what it was, something like he said that he was looking for a lakh pati, someone who had a lakh of rupees that could be used to build a temple. He needed a lakh of rupees, I don't know what that, 100,000 rupees or something like that, so that he could build a temple. And later on, someone donated what is now known as the Bagh Bazar Gaudiya Math. Someone donated the land in that building. And it cost many, many times 1 lakh, maybe 30 or 40 lakhs or 50 lakhs, something like that, of rupees. Oh, no, yeah. And, no, actually, Saraswati Thakur said was he wanted a lakh of paisa. He was looking for someone who would give a lakh of paisa. Paisa is 1/100th of a rupee, like our penny to a dollar, right? Is that right? A paisa is 1/100th of a rupee. So he was looking for someone who would make such a contribution to help him build his temple. So many, many, many times that amount came from this one man who donated everything for the Bagh Bazar Gaudiya Math. And so someone was talking with Saraswati Thakur and said, oh, what you had asked and what you were praying for, it has come 1,000 times over now. Not only a lakh of paisa, but many, many lakhs of rupees have come to you. So you must be very happy. And Saraswati Thakur said, no, you don't understand what I wanted. So what I wanted was that 100,000 people would each give one paisa. That way, so many people would get sukriti, would be getting the sukriti to get the, and they would get thereby get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through their sukriti, through that sukriti. It would be distributed to so many thousands and thousands of people. That's what he said, that was my real desire. So that's something for us to consider also. We are building in two ways. One, we want, so I was using this as an example to talk about Mahaprabhu's two fronts. One front is that front. And try to engage and include as many people as possible. Try to engage everyone in the service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Try to give everyone the opportunity to get some sukriti, to chant the Hare Krishna mantra, to make some progress. Now they're in this horrible condition of material suffering, no idea of transcendence or anything. We talk with people regularly, and their idea of God, they have some idea about God, but it's so minimal, it's almost nothing. And more is needed to make real progress, because progress, there has to be a scientific method for making progress in Krishna consciousness. To make progress in towards God is not a haphazard thing. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, one may like to think that it's intuitive. He said, but it's not intuitive. So just as one does not learn his ABCs through intuition, but by someone teaching, this is how you make the letter A, this is how you make the letter B, etc., etc. You need a teacher, and that teacher instructs you, and it goes in this way. So some instructor, some higher authority has to give instruction how to, who is God, what is God, who are you, what are you, how to make progress in your understanding of God, your service to God, etc., etc. That has to all come through the divine agent of God, Sri Guru, through the Acharya, through the Guru, through the Vaishnava. And through their guidance and instruction, we can make progress. And no other way. There is no other way. So, all types of distribution, we're distributing. When someone gives something to the Vaishnava, the reverse is actually happening. The person who gives to the Vaishnava is not giving anything. The Vaishnava is giving. Through that transaction, the Vaishnava is giving sukriti to the person who is making the contribution, making the donation, making the transaction. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj emphasized this a great deal, talked about it often. Because he did collecting himself. He went shop to shop in many different ways, collected donations for Srila Saraswati Thakur and for the mission of Gaudiya Math. But he always saw it as distribution of sukriti. That what we are doing, going door to door, going person to person, shop to shop, distributing sukriti of our Guru Maharaj. We're distributing that to others. So Mahaprabhu did that in one way, in that mass way, and he did it through discussion of philosophy and the pastimes of Krishna. And he did that with a smaller intimate group, not with the general public, but with the small intimate group. And there he discussed everything, you know, like with his talks with Ramananda Roy and with Sarup Damodar and others. So, those who want to make this challenge, if you want me to accept Krishna, then prove that he exists. Show him to me. We can try through some philosophical discussion, but One of the symptoms of Kali Yuga is that people, even when you present a logical and reasonable proof like that, they still don't accept it. You can show them seven ways to sundown that this is correct. You can prove the existence of God. There has to be a God. There has to be an uncaused cause, and so many other things, so many other proofs. And you can prove it to a reasonable person, but you can't prove it to an unreasonable person. And the atheist is an unreasonable person, or at least often they are. If they can be convinced, then they're no longer atheists. But if they cannot be convinced like that, then there's only one thing left to do. Srila Sridhar Maharaj gave that solution, and that is you must distribute Sukriti. They have to acquire some more Sukriti, some way, through the association of devotees, through doing some sevas to the devotee, to the Vaishnava, etc. And that way, they will, through the acquisition of Sukriti, then suddenly what you could not prove any other way, suddenly they will realize, ah, what you were trying to tell me, now I get it, you are right. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is an incarnation of Krishna for Kali Yuga, etc., etc. And then real faith will begin to develop from Sukriti Shraddha. Shraddha, faith, will develop. So everything, real progress depends upon a bona fide guru. Srila Prabhupada talked many times that we must accept a perfect person. If we want to be make progress in Krishna consciousness, then we have to accept a perfect person. We have to find a perfect person. He never said that he was a perfect person. And sometimes he would get very engaged with someone. You must accept a perfect person. You cannot know anything yourself. This is all speculation. What you know is nothing, etc., etc. Well, how can I know something? You have to find a perfect person. He never said he was the perfect person. Maybe once in a while. And someone would say, well, are you a perfect person? I say, yes, because I am speaking what the perfect person says, therefore what I say is also perfect. So that means don't change what Krishna is saying. We can say it to others, and we know that we are saying what is perfect because we are saying what Krishna says. We know what Krishna says is perfect. And if we tell that to others, then that is also perfect. We may not be perfect, but we are doing what is perfect by repeating what has come from our guru, Gauranga, Sri Krishna, etc., telling that to others, then we can be sure. I may be imperfect, but what I am giving is perfect instruction because that is the instruction of Krishna himself. So every mantram must come through this disciplic succession, and the student must be qualified, the disciple must be qualified, and the guru must be qualified. And then the transaction will have real effect. And Prabhupada said, so many Bhagavad Gitas distributed, etc. But no one made any devotee of Krishna. Then that means there something was wrong there, right? And Prabhupada distributed Bhagavad Gita, and so many persons became devotees of Krishna. So something was right there. So there's the proof once again, some sort of proof. So my guru has instructed me that you, who is coming to you as a sincere seeker, then you give them this mantra, this divine mantra. Today we're giving Gayatri mantra. many times I've done this as Ritvik for Srila Govinda Maharaj, not so many times as everything. Not everything, not sannyas, but Harinam, first initiation, second initiation. Not so many times as I am the guru. But that was also Srila Govinda Maharaj's instruction, that you will become acharya, then that work you must continue, that work which is his work, Govinda Maharaj's work, which he is doing on behalf of his divine master. And now I am charged with doing that same work as he instructed. So we're today this function, which actually I didn't speak so much about the Gayatri Mantra, but it's all connected, and it's all good. It's all important. So it's important that, in a roundabout way, what I'm saying is, I think Srimati Madhuleka Devi is a sincere seeker, a sincere person, and therefore a qualified person to receive this Gayatri Mantra, which is coming in the line of disciplic succession from guru to disciple. And especially this mantra coming from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and through Srila Sridhar Maharaj and Srila Govinda Maharaj, and to myself and now to others. This is a very beautiful poster that you must have spent a great deal of time doing it. Announcing our festival here in our Sri Govinda Divyavani Seva Ashram.
This is the original.
This is the original that she did, but her handwork and handiwork here. How did you make all of this so nicely? Compass?
A lot of erasers. Just did it and I'd erase it, and then I'd do it again and I'd erase it. That's
erasing. But to make all of these things, you used a compass?
Compass, no. I just drew it. She just
hand drew it.
Really?
Freehand. Yeah, it's a freehanded piece of
You
artwork.
Did this freehand. Wow. That's incredible. Wow. Well, that's the difference between an artist and myself. Well, it's very beautiful. So can you see that?
We'll scan it back home.
Okay. All right, Jai. So this is announcing all our festivities here at our Sri Govinda Divyavani Seva Ashram.
And, this is announcing your arrival Saturday and Sunday.
So this was used in different storefronts and things like that, the windows of stores around all around Salem here.
A few stores. This was the very last one.
The special health food store where most of the people coming looking for festival flyers are.
Yeah, I saw it at Fred Meyer's, right?
I'm not sure because I didn't do all the flyers.
Weren't we there last night?
Life Source.
Life Source. Okay. All right. Jai. Very nice. Hare Krishna. Anyway, I'll discuss a little more in a moment.
Can you pick up the go around there?
Yeah, you want to do it?
Give that to Indra Prabhu, please. And the package, and he can roll it up.
This is Ganga Devi.
This is what?
Ganga's water.
Oh.
Ganga's water.
Really?
Yeah, it was prepared by Indra Prabhu.
It has a white lotus in the bottom.
He prepared it.
And the glass.
By white lotus in the bottom,
and
you
the
mean what?
The glass. Uh-huh. Look, it looks like a white
right,
lotus.
Right. Wow, this looks like.
I know, pretty useless, but I thought it
was
pretty.
I was thinking it looks. Well, it looks. Too beautiful for me. It's like something like Aladdin's lamp or something. Something of great antiquity and some treasure.
Murano,
very nice.
Murano glass, like a Murano from Venezia.
Does it seal? Will it open up
sealed.
If it falls over or something?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's not screwed.
Some
it's
water
stopped.
What may come up if it tips over. Though. It's a little wet, so.
I guess all the rest is I don't have.
Oh, what is this?
I just picked it out today. I didn't. I was.
In case you need
I was looking. I found
out.
A. I found a white cow, but it had stuff. It had dirt on it, so I was like, "Oh, I can't get him the cow because there's dirt on it." And I picked that one for you.
Well, he looks very happy.
Yeah, it's the good dog or the bad dog?
Looking pretty good, don't you think?
I also brought you these for just in case you get bored.
What
play with
oh, okay. Okay, okay. Do they by chance glow under a black light?
I haven't checked.
I have a feeling they may.
So it's Jack's
okay.
Actually old fashioned.
Oh, right, right. I didn't.
The
yeah.
Ball and see
there you go.
You can scoop up.
Okay, all right. Tiger Dave.
This is. Natural hand rolled incense. I think it's from Tibet.
Something
I'm
you do like
sure.
To offer to Tulsi Devi.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm. All the time. And then there's just chocolate, and I know you like smoked foods.
All right. Some smoked
cheese.
Mozzarella
cheese with no animal in it.
I found the fruit, of course. I found some barbecue sauce. It doesn't have onion in it, but it has garlic.
A little.
Yeah, and I was going to make it's smoky maple flavor.
smoky
maple.
You say you found
sauce.
Some?
Yeah,
it's organic.
Organic.
I found some,
garlic.
And it's in the kitchen. I was going to prepare like wheat gluten and make you some barbecue while you're here.
You know how to make wheat gluten?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Well, not. I know how to
she
prepare
was gonna,
it.
We can get the wheat gluten.
Oh,
she was
I see.
Prepare
okay.
You a meal, but she wanted to make
Texas
sure
Texas style
you like
wheat
that
gluten.
Sauce.
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably better than KC Masterpiece.
Oh, yes, it's a very nice brand.
There's a nice story about that. Srila Sridhar Maharaj tells something about this, but I'll tell it another time. Jai Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki
Jai.
Gaur Hari Bol. Jai Srimati Madhuleka Devi Dasi Ki
Jai.
Jai Shri Prabhu Radhasham Ki
Jai.
Jai Jayanta Krishna Prabhu Ki Jai.
Jai
Shri Prabhu Indra Bandhu Ki Jai.
Jai
Shriman Gokulananda Prabhu Ki
Jai.
Jai Shri Tanya Saraswat Mat Ki
Jai.
Jai Shri Govinda Divyavani Seva Ashram Ki
Jai.
Gaur Hari Bol.
Gaur Hari Bol. Vishnupada Srila Bhakti Kanangiri Maharaj Ki
Jai.
All the assembled devotees Ki
Jai.
Harinam Sankirtan Ki
Jai.
Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki
Jai.
Utai Gaur Premanandi
Hari Bol. So with that, we should do a little bit of kirtan.
How do I chant the mantra?
Oh, well, I'll give you the mantra privately,
okay.
And then we'll discuss that. I don't want to make you sit here any longer. What time is it? Yeah, 6:20. Yeah. So let's
back to cooking.